subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuning to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So as you're coming in, tell me where you're at, tell me where you're coming from, all the other good stuff, right? All right, we got the SR4777S's The Full Eclipse. That's a string name, but thanks for tuning in. He says, I plan on investing in Tesla and Apple split. We're going to get into the Tesla split, but we all of us know that Apple had already announced that they're going to be splitting here soon. So that's no surprise there on Apple split, but now we got a Tesla split coming up. So that's a pretty good move. As we saw Tesla rose up big time today, and by them rising up, what they seemingly do is the stock seems to go on a bull run. You know, stocks go on a bull run after they do a big split. Here we go. Ms. Beverly said Tesla. There we go. Yeah, Tesla is the talk of the town right now for doing some good things. Clarence Duncan, what's going on? He said, what's good from the kingdom of Bahrain? We got Clarence Duncan in the building. Thanks for tuning in. Brandon said the intro is fire. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. I need to update it, too. I need to update it. How you say that? Rodrigo Neves, he said, what's up, fool? What's up, fool? That's what he says. What's up, Rodrigo Neves? Hope I said that right. Somebody coming from Tampa, Florida. All right, we got Tampa, Florida, St. Louis, all of the great stuff. So we got a pretty good show, guys and girls, going to come on today. We're going to be talking about, as you guys and girls can see below here, we're going to be talking about the stock splits. We're going to be talking about all the other good stuff that's going on in the markets right now. So the first thing we're going to jump into, we've seen the stocks rise up 200%, right? So we've seen the stock rise. What drove the stock rise? Tech companies. You know, Tesla had a great day. Apple had a great day. Facebook, they was having a great day. So that pushed the NASDAQ, pushed the whole Dow Jones up 200 points. It's been a rebound from which we've been seeing earlier this week, been lagging down by some the technology companies slowing down. So the first thing we got going, Tesla stock split. 5-1. Y'all remember Apple? Apple is doing a 4-1. That means for every one stock you have at Apple, you're now going to have four coming up on August 24th, I think. So the first stock you have, you're going to go to August 24th. You know, on August 24th, you're going to have four. Don't quote me on that particular date. But I know Tesla is saying August 31st, for every one share, you're going to have five. Simply meaning, if you had five shares for $1,500, the stock split into 15, you know, now you're going to have one share for $300. So if you had one share of Tesla for $1,500, you're not going to have five shares of Tesla for $300. What does that mean? Usually stocks go on a bullish run because now the stock is more affordable, increasing people want to buy more and things like that. So pretty good. Apple has announced their stock split right at their earnings, the stock has taken off. Tesla's following the same suit, whereas people see stock splits making more companies more affordable. People who had $300 just last or this month, if you had $300 right now, you can't even get in the Tesla game unless you buy stock splits or not stock splits, unless you buy fractional shares or something like that. So very good, more affordable, meaning that it can get inside of some mutual funds, other things like that, and more accessible to increase demand. You know, anytime you lower the price, you're going to potentially increase the demand. Now, when you look at the value of the stock and the option chain, all that is going to adjust. So take me, for example, I have 400 calls. I have Apple 400 calls for June of next year, right? And come when they do the stock split, instead of me having a 400 call, it's probably going to be a 100 and something call, a $100 call, right? So the option chain is going to adjust. The price, the PE is going to change. All this stuff is going to change accordingly. It's really nothing that's going to happen too crazy, but the stock is just going to be cheaper. And everybody knows anytime you create something cheaper, it usually increases the demand for what you're doing. All right? Let me see what you guys and girls are saying in the chat room here. I wonder why my stuff didn't stick from earlier. All right, let's see what y'all are saying here. We got some good stuff here. Let's see what we're saying. LK Raw said, Florida guy here. All right, we got LK Raw checking in from Florida, as always. He says, I missed the Apple run. I'm disappointed, especially since I normally buy every dip. I brought a few BA calls for 6/2021. One of them to hit 300. BA is Boeing. Boeing going back to 300. Boeing was already at 300 before the pandemic broke. Pandemic, now you're going to like this episode because we're going to talk about why did Boeing drop so much over during the pandemic. The reason why Boeing dropped so much, guess who the number one suppliers are? Airlines. So airlines are not upgrading their planes, buying new planes, putting in orders for new planes. You know, airlines are going through it. Some airlines are about to disappear. You know, I always say on my hit list of airlines that I think are going to disappear, everybody knows I think it's probably going to be Hawaiian or Spirit, right? The smaller guys who were kind of small and struggling beforehand. And I think it's going to be some airline consolidations too. I think like an airline, like you just saw Virgin Airlines just file for bankruptcy. And I think it was somebody else that I can't remember. But you're going to see some smaller companies start to eat each other. If I was Hawaiian and Spirit, maybe they may consolidate. Frontier may buy Hawaiian, or they may merge or something like that or whatnot. So right now the demand for airplanes, their customer is not in a market. It's just like, for prime example, when unemployment goes up, nobody has money, the demand for a house usually decreases. So that's why you've seen Boeing go down. But if they get a second round of bailouts, and I think that the first round of bailouts, what we're going to get into here next, the first round of bailouts ends on September 30th. And there have been talks of, everybody thought by September, October, the fall, we was going to be out of this mess. Everybody's going to be flying around. But no, it's not happening. And it's probably going to linger for the rest of the year. They're talking about a second wave coming along. And when that stuff is starting to happen, guess what's going to happen to the demand for people buying airlines? It's probably going to decrease. But if they get a bailout, airline stocks will raise when they get a bailout. Also, Boeing will raise because they're looking at the airline industry returning. All right. All right. I forgot what you said here. Okay, yeah. Okay, I think we got that one. Thanks for tuning in, LK Raw. Zachary from Maryland. Okay, Zachary. All right. Flint, Michigan. Tanisha Summers from Flint, Michigan. All right, Flint, Michigan. Hartford, Connecticut. Successful. Hartford, I've been watching your growth. Great work. You helped me get into investing. Tesla and Apple are buy sooner than later. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you guys and girls know, I purchased Tesla for the first time at $600 right after their earnings report in January. A lot of people call me crazy. They had the earnings to back it up. Then it went up to about, it just went crazy in 2 days, went up to $900. And then it fell down to $700. Then I sold it. Then I got back in at $700 and I kept it. After the recent earnings report, the earnings report looked good, but the stock dropped 10%. I purchased a share from my son, Wesley, for about $1,400, I think I purchased it for, whatever it was going for at that time. I purchased a share, and all of a sudden, now it's going to split. Price is going to run up. So great on, you know, that turned out to be pretty good. Apple is another one. People have been calling me when we were in March, when the market downturn right here on the show. People called me live. Prince, what do you think? You know, should I get this company, or this is Hertz going to turn around? Oh, this new company is coming out. And everybody was just sleeping and looking around Apple, looking around Microsoft, looking around Google, looking around Amazon. And people thought, you know, Amazon is too expensive. It's $3,000 a share right now. So I can understand why people may look away from it. But Apple wasn't too bad. It was around $300. Microsoft was $100+ during the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, it went down to $100+. Apple was at $200, if I'm not mistaken, during the pandemic. Everybody was, because I remember having $300 calls on Apple. Man, I wish I would have kept them, but I made some money and I left it alone. But, you know, it turned out well. I don't know everything. Right now, what I'm stinking up the place on is Uber and Lyft. We're going to get into here briefly. We're going to get into what they have going on. Antonio from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We got Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Hartford, Connecticut, Flint, Michigan, Florida, St. Louis, Tampa, all over the place. All right. So we're all over the place. He said the abbreviation, okay, the abbreviation of my name and birthday, Full Eclipse, means that I like to keep some things to myself. Okay. All right. Triple sevens. Okay. All right. Okay. I got you. Got you, 777. Antonio said, thanks, Prince from Philadelphia. He said, thanks for your great content. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you guys and girls for tuning in. Y'all at work keep me sharp. You know, people DM me all the time. You know, sometimes I'll be at work and I'll come out and, you know, while I was at work, the Tesla stock split came out. I didn't know. I didn't even get a chance to even make it to even do my research. You know, my phone was lighting up with everybody telling me, right? So I definitely, you guys and girls, like yesterday when we did the last episode, when we did the Square app review, I did not know Square owned Cash App, but that was due to somebody DMing me asking me to look over Square. I looked over Square, learned something new. So shout out to Queen for doing that. Greetings from Concord, North Carolina. North Carolina, the biggest, okay, in the building. August 28th. So Tesla is going to split on August 28th. I'm pretty sure that's what Successful is saying. August 28th, Tesla is going to, what you call it? I need the tech companies to go down a bit so I can jump in. King, you know what King Cardi did just 2 days ago? Today is Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday, tech was down, right? Tech was down on Monday and Tuesday. It looked at, the NASDAQ was the only thing that was down on Monday and Tuesday. That was your opportunity, right? And then on Monday and Tuesday, that's when I was buying something like a Tango Quebec. And today, when it returns 7%, I'm out of there. Arlena Gonzalez, she said, I'm here. Okay, Arlena, thank you for tuning in. Preston Young says, Uber. We're going to definitely get into Uber and Lyft. Evolving Wisdom says, thank you, Prince. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Rock Hill, South Carolina. Okay, South Carolina's in the building. She said, yeah, I brought Apple $260 a share. Man, I'm pretty sure you're happy right now. That's almost double. And $260 a share, that was probably a couple months ago. Now they're about $450 a share right now. And then they're going to split. Dave Robinson, what is it called in a disconnect? You're talking about a disconnect between the real economy and the stock market, David Robinson? If that's what you're talking about? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to run into the next thing here. I don't know if y'all saw this today. Robinhood dropped 16%. Robinhood stock dropped 16%. It's a little bit off the topic. The reason why I put this out there is because I predicted that, well, I won't say I predicted. It was just one of the companies that I expected to, the next major restaurant that I think is going to file bankruptcy is probably going to be Robinhood. They dropped 16% the day after putting out their quarter two earnings. I didn't get a chance to read through their whole report, but I'm pretty sure, you know, they were saying, I read a little bit about what the CEO was saying about the, kind of about the thing I was saying in the episode. You know, right now they was already kind of struggling before. Now they're really struggling at what's going on. And when they're looking at, everything across the globe, when you look at everything across the globe for, for Robinhood is struggling big time. You know, they were struggling before. They was trying to make some turnarounds and things like that in 2019. Now the COVID came along and Robinhood has really been struggling. The restaurant has dropped 16%. And it's my prediction they'll probably be the next one they're either going to absorb a lot of debt or they're going to be the next one that's probably going to disappear and go with California Pizza. You know, California Pizza was the last restaurant that I saw that went bankrupt. So let's segue here into straight into the next topic here. Let me see what y'all comments are saying. Uber and Lyft, what everybody's saying. Joe Davis said, yo, okay, what's going on? Okay, Joe Davis says, is there any tips for new investors? My number one tip for any new investor, I just put up a meme the other day, invest in what you know. Start with what you know, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sitting here on an Apple computer, and I have an Apple iPhone. I have a lot of Apple products. My wife has an Apple. She has a MacBook as well. Start with Apple. If you know video games very well, start with what you know. That would be my biggest thing. If you work in restaurants, you worked around restaurants, you work in retail, you worked around retail. If you've done anything around the world or whatever you're doing in the world that you know better, you know the music industry or whatnot or whatever the case may be, start with what you know. You're on Google every day or if you're on Facebook every day. If you are, I don't know, your favorite clothing line, like one of my buddies, a company that I really didn't believe in and know about was Gap. I didn't believe or know about Gap, but he hit me up. He says, Prince, you know, this guy he really loved, you know, he loved Gap, and he loved what Kanye West was teaming up with Gap. And he said, Prince, you're looking at Gap, right? It was an unprofitable company. I wasn't a crazy fan of it, but Gap had never came across my desk. If it wasn't for a friend of mine that was into the clothing business. So by him looking to the clothing business, he discovered Gap. I would never even looked at Gap, right? And that investment has been doing pretty well as of late, right? You know, anything can happen at any time, but that's one of the things. Start with what you know. If you are in the military, you know about government contracts. You know about Boeing. You know about Lockheed Martin. You know about these publicly traded companies. Start with what you know. You probably heard of CrowdStrike, cybersecurity companies. If you're in the computer and tech world, maybe you look at Microsoft. Maybe you look at Apple. Maybe you may look at all the big tech companies out there, Uber, Google, Amazon, retail. So start with what you know. That would probably be my biggest thing for a new investor. Start with what you know. What's going on with Silver Prince? Making money. It's my belief that gold and silver is telling us what exactly what's going on in the economy, and the stock market is telling us what the Fed is doing with stimulating the economy. So when I look at gold and silver and I see the 700% return, I see not the 700% return, but I see gold and silver going up, and I see the economy going and stock market going up at the same time, I believe gold and silver is going up because everybody knows gold and silver goes up in a downtime, right? Everybody knows that. So with this downtime that we're experiencing, everybody's looking at gold and silver, and they're wondering, you know, everybody's moving their money to gold and silver. And people are wondering, why is gold and silver having such a great time? Because of what? You know, they're having a great time because of we're in uncertain times. All right. So to take advantage of gold and silver, you can add that to your portfolio with SLV, which is Sierra Lima Victor, or you can if you want to get a little crazy or you want to add gold, you can do IAU, India Alpha Under Armour, or whatever you want to call it for the U. Or you want to get a little crazy, AGQ. If y'all remember me saying this from past episodes, AGQ, that's bullish ETFs on silver. So if silver goes up, this really goes up, right? So that's how I want to look at it a little bit. So David was saying, yes, I think David was the one that said, what you said earlier, David? I need to open my phone lines back up too, huh? Let me see what David said earlier. Oh, what's causing the disconnect? Yes. I believe that, you know, look at the stimulus packages. Pay attention to the stimulus packages. The stimulus packages are telling you what's going on in the economy, right? The stimulus package is telling you what's going on in the economy. Oh, crap. I hope I didn't... Destiny Robbins, good evening. Okay. Destiny Robbins is saying a good evening. How you doing, Miss Destiny Robbins? I don't know what she's checking in, but thank you. He said Robin Hood and Red Robin, yum. What's going on there, Clarence? All right, let's get into, okay, so PD Young said Uber, I believe in them. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the latest debacle with Uber and Lyft. This is what's kind of... caught me by surprise, but welcome to the world of investing. Things catch you by surprise all the time. Uber released their earnings. They were still on track to be profitable. The ride shares had gone down because of COVID-19, what we kind of expected. The shares dropped, I want to say, about 5-7%. So at that time, I purchased a call on Uber, knowing that Uber would bounce back. But the call is not until December. So I have time to recover 33 calls on December. I have months to recover, right? So the thing is, I figure, you know, Uber has already been over $33. They was at $34 when the stock dropped. So that's what I was looking at. Once all of this kind of shake off, Uber would get back on the track that they were on when the earnings, before the earnings came out. Now, as of Monday, I believe that was August 10th, the federal courts came out and said, hey, listen, Uber, if you drive for Uber, you're considered to be an independent contractor. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never driven for Uber before, but I have taken Ubers. I have rode in Uber. So please don't hold my feet to the fire and say, well, you don't know the Uber contract says. I'm just giving a general synopsis. So Uber, when you drive for Uber, you're considered to be an independent contractor, meaning you work on your own. We're just going to pay you, hey, give this person a ride from A to B, and we're going to give you $100 for it. You say yes, they give you your own money. When you take your money, you buy your own gas, you pay for your own car, you get your own health care, you get all of your own things. This is the crazy part about it. That's great for the business, and after speaking to a few drivers, drivers love the fact that it can be independent contractors because they make more money. They're like, hey, if I give a ride that's 2 hours away, I may make $100. But if I was an employee and I put on an Uber shirt and I drove an Uber car, I may only make $15 an hour. So being an independent contractor, some people like it because some people don't want benefits because this is their side hustle. You have people on the weekend, they drive Uber, or in the off time, they drive Uber. Or it might be a spouse who has all her benefits from her husband. She may go drive Uber. She don't want the benefits or care about the benefits. So they love the idea of being a contractor. They don't want a job, right? With the thing that made Uber and Lyft stand out and make them so powerful was the fact that you were independent contractor, meaning that anybody can turn their car into a taxi cab service. Versus with the old system, when we had taxi cabs, a taxi cab, either you, if you was a taxi cab driver, either you worked for a company or you had your own taxi cab business. So what Uber done was they took the everyday person and then said, hey, if you are a teenager or if you're somebody that's working in between jobs, if you have an off day, you want to make a little extra money, come downtown Denver, turn your little Uber thing on, register whatnot or Lyft, and guess what? You can become an Uber driver and be independent contracted. So a judge in California ruled in San Francisco that Uber workers are not independent contractors. They need to be reclassified as workers. This is detrimental to the company. The stock has been trading down ever since. Why has the stock been trading down? Because if this goes through, if Uber has to classify all of their workers as all of their drivers as employees, this is detrimental to the company. Because the one thing that made them special was they didn't have to buy cars. They didn't have to pay employee unemployment, sick leave, paid leave, all the other good stuff, right? So Uber is trying to be profitable. They're running down a profitability. They're trying to go down a profitability. But now this monkey wrench gets thrown. Why is this so big? Because if a judge in San Francisco says it, now a judge in New York can say it. Now a judge in Florida can say it, it can spread. So that's why when a federal judge or a judge rules something, an attorney, if they're fighting a case, they will take the previous ruling from another state and use that to win a case somewhere else. So that's the bad thing. The legal thing about it, Uber wants their they want people to be independent contractors, and the people that drive Uber want to be independent contractors, but the employees looking at it, you know, California is a left party. I'm not a political guy, but it's very left-wing state, right? I don't know how, and I've said this a million times, I don't know how anybody starts a business in California unless you're in the entertainment world in LA and you have to be there. Get out of there. Look what Tesla did. Tesla left California and is building this new factory in Texas. You're talking about, look at companies like, you heard the talk show Joe Rogan podcast. He's talking about moving to Texas because it's more business friendly, less state taxes. And you will want people to create jobs during a time like this. So that's the big thing that's going on. I'm glad to be tuning in from California. Okay, Destiny. Thank you. So now this is the bad part about it. Uber and Lyft speak that you're talking about going to California. Lyft came out today and Uber said in their statement that I pull up later on the show because I want to show you guys a statement. Uber and Lyft just said, hey, look, if California don't overturn this, Uber and Lyft both appealed this judgment, this ruling, and they pretty much said, hey, if they don't lift this, we're going to leave. Uber is a global brand, ladies and gentlemen. They're here. They're in the Middle East. They're in Europe. They're all over the place, right? They brought other companies. Uber brought other companies, you know, other self-riding companies overseas. So Uber, California and Lyft said, hey, man, we'll leave. Come to Colorado, please. Go to Texas. I don't blame you. Leave. If you're trying to kill my business and I can't be here, leave San Francisco. It's overpriced anyway. Shout out to all the people that's in the Bay Area that's tuning in. And I got good people in the Bay. It's good companies come out of the Bay all the time. It's good Silicon Valley, for crying out loud. But anyway, but when it comes down to business, you may have to up and move and leave. So that's what they're looking at. Simon Davis, what's the best tips for day trading? All right, we're going to look at some of the comments here. Day trading, ladies and gentlemen, I would say the best tips for if you were a day trader, you got to have 25 grand. The way you can get around 25 grand is to split your trades up in a day. I would say if you're going to day trade, you got to start with paper, even though paper trading and real life trading is totally different, but kind of get your feet wet. I would say keep in mind that day trading is like going to the casino. When you go to the casino, you know everybody got their uncle or auntie or friend that can go to the casino and make money, right? But majority of people that go to 95% of the people that go to the casino, like myself, you're going to go there and you're going to give money away, right? So, but it's some people that know how to make money out of the casino on a consistent basis, and that's their job. They go there and play blackjack. They're good with numbers. They're good with cards, and they can just shoot off to the moon. But on the other end, on the other downside of day trading, you got to be mindful that you have a 95% chance of losing. You will make some winning trades, but you're going to net losses over time. So be very, very, very careful. Know the statistics are against you for being successful. Nothing wrong with it. Not saying you can't do it. Knowing the statistics are against you. And with me investing, I like to deal with statistics of I have a high probability of winning. You have a low probability of being a successful day trader. That's all I'm going to say. But one of the things, if you're going to do that, be very mindful. Know what you expect to lose. Try to get the skill. Get informally educated and formally educated on that particular topic. All right? Don't buy calls before earnings, a.k.a. high volatility. Yeah, you're right. So usually, Karen, that's what's Karen, right? So usually when stocks are going into their earnings, they swell. The implied volatility on the option chain just swell. And then right after that option, right after the option chain happens, boom, it crushes, right? The implied volatility just falls. The volatility of the stock all crushes and falls down. Now, the bad part about that, or the good part about that is, usually when the volatility goes down, that's when I would buy. You know, unless you're strong and you know something, but yeah, I usually don't deal with that as an investment strategy, just like almost like a gamble, right? How do you commit to a strategy for selling at a price and not waiting too long or eventually losing? It's just like anything else, you know, when it's like a relationship. When you walk into your relationship, you know, when you sign a contract with a business or entity, you got to have your terminations, knowing what will cause me to leave. What's my selling point? I brought Uber for $30. When do I want to sell it? I want to sell it for $40, right? And when would I sell it before $40? Do I sell it because the stock is just falling? No. I sell it when the story is no longer making sense to me. What do I mean by that? Is the story is no longer making sense to me is they're not going to be profitable. The company's falling back from being profitable. Then I would have issues or whatnot. But you look at a company like Uber and Lyft, they're doing what every other company does when they're a new tech company. They're going through growing pains. What they're doing has never been done before. It's brand new. It's something that Facebook went through. You're going to have growing pains, whether it's legal, whether whatever the case may be or whatnot, right? How do you commit to strategies for selling? So that's why if you walk in, know where you're going to get out at, know your exit strategy. I'm going to sell it for $40. My low is I'm going to sell it for $25. Stock is at $30. If it's, I'm going to trade it for a profit at $40. I'm going to trade it for a profit at $25, right? And I will follow the story of the company. What made me sell it? And just because the price is going down doesn't mean a reason for you to sell it, right? So, yeah, I see what Tech now. He tells me, wow, that's some BS. Making them reclassify there. What you call it, right? Too many Uber drivers were getting into accidents with people in cars with no proper insurance. My thing is, it's just like this, right? If I was an independent contractor for, let's say I got the city gave me a contract to paint the courthouse. I'm a painter. The city gave me a contract to paint the courthouse. They give me $50,000 to go paint the courthouse blue. And for everybody that's in there, make sure you hit the like button, subscribe button, all that good stuff too, right? Share button, all that good stuff. Too many people. So what happens? So the government says, hey, Prince, can you paint the White House? I say, not courthouse. I say, yes. How much you want for it? I say, it's going to cost me $30,000. And they give me a contract saying, here's $30,000, go paint the White House. Not the White House, but the courthouse. I go to the courthouse, and I go over there, fall off a ladder, break my back, and I don't have any insurance. I don't have any health insurance. Or one of my coworkers, since I brought somebody with me to paint the courthouse, and my coworker fell and you know, while he was painting the courthouse, he bust a window and fell in the window and broke his back or whatever the case may be. Now, when somebody say, hey, you bust the window, and they try to go sue me, couldn't find out I don't have any business insurance, couldn't find out I don't have any health insurance, couldn't find out I don't have any XYZ, right? Who fault is that? Is that my company as an independent contractor, or is that the city's fault for hiring me? Who fault is that, right? If you want to be an independent contractor, you got to provide your own car. You got to provide your, I have to, with that $30,000 they gave me, I have to go buy the paint. I have to go get the workers. I got to go get the ladders. That's all on me as an independent contractor. Same thing when you drive for Uber and Lyft. You got to have your own car. You got to have your own You got to have your own life insurance and health insurance. And if you hit somebody, that's your problem, right? You know, that's one of the people love to be an independent contractor. But when you're independent, you're almost like your own individual. You are your own individual business, right? They're just offering you a service. You go do the service, you get a paycheck for it. Same thing with anybody else that's a contractor. That's just that California is rough. Definitely, you know. Here we go. Here, California is rough. Definitely, California is rough because of, you know, it's rough for businesses. You got high taxes. Soon as you become evil, soon as you build a big business, and I understand what they're looking at. They're looking at, look at this multi-billion-dollar company with a market cap of $30 billion, and look at the average Uber driver. How much your average Uber driver makes? By the time the Uber driver pays for their gas, their maintenance, their car, all of the good stuff, how much money they're really taking home. So you kind of become, you get that bullseye on your back in California, right? So I'm not big on that. I look at it and say, I believe in less government, and less government means let the businesses, I believe the economy and the business will work for itself. If it wasn't profitable for drivers, guess what drivers would do? They wouldn't drive for Uber. Let things fill themselves out. So guess what? Who's really mad that they're independent contractor? Guess what? Go back to the old ways. Go work for a taxi cab company. Would you rather be an independent contractor or get an hourly wage, put on an Uber shirt? I'm sorry about that. Get an hourly wage, get an Uber shirt, and get an Uber car and just drive around and be a taxi cab driver. What's going on, Al? He said, my guy, Prince of Stocks. Appreciate that, Al. Thanks for tuning in. I brought one share, we'll buy another share. I'm waiting on Tesla. Okay, all right. Simon Davis says, thank you. So now the other thing, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about, I had this stuff typed in. I don't know why it went away on me, but it's okay. The next thing we're going to get into, and let me know what y'all think. I put this up earlier before I came on to the show. What do y'all think of these airline bailouts? Should airlines get a bailout? Let me know what y'all think in the comment box while I pull up the Department of Treasury. Should airlines get a second bailout, ladies and gentlemen? Everybody know airlines got a bailout back in March, April timeframe of about $25 billion they gave to the airline industry. That's going to expire on September 3rd. Now on September 3rd, they're going to be able to On September 3rd, they're going to be able to, now September 30th, on October 1st, September 30th, October 1st, companies are going to be able to, what you call it? They're going to be able to lay people off. So what do y'all think of that? Should they get another bailout? Should airlines get a second round? Do you think I should buy the Apple, Tesla? Okay, so Tech Nine says, do you think I should buy Apple and Tesla before or after the stock split? Depending on how much money you have, depending on what your strategy, I would probably wait after the stock split. I think going into the stock split, everybody's going to trade the stock up. Then when the stock split happens, I think that's when everybody is going to have that initial shock. If everybody kind of getting out of it, then that's when I'm going to make my move. Right now, everybody's too happy. It's going up way too much. He said, yes, airlines, and we're going to pull this up, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and share this stream for you. He says, yes, airlines need a bailout. We need to fly, and airlines employ a lot of people. Now, think about it. What do you got to say? Some people are saying airlines, why should airlines get a bailout, a second bailout? Why not just let them go bankrupt? Why not just turn them into a nonprofit? I just feel bad for the airline industry because the airlines, ladies and gentlemen, they are, in 2008, they got paid off. 2008, they got bailed out because of what? You know, airlines, I feel like they got the worst luck in the world, y'all. Airlines got the worst luck in the world because the first thing that happened was back in 2008, you had a terrorist attack that was done on airlines. So airline stocks got a hit back in the, well, not 2000, in 2000, early 2000, 2001, right? They had to get bailed out. Then 2008, they had to get bailed out again during the financial crisis. Now you're talking about 2020. Now you get a COVID, people are not traveling. Here they are again. So that's how I look at it. We got JM Chess. What's going on? Greetings. He said, airlines need to be better managed, so let the bad ones go. That's true. Just like I said, put the hands off and let some of them go. Should the government start its own airline? Should they have a nonprofit? What if they all disappear? People are going to need to fly. Look at this. This is how this could go in a reverse way. If we didn't bail out airlines right now, because, you know, I have a lot of software to airlines myself. So if we didn't bail out airlines, companies, let's say half of them went away. Let's say everything below Frontier Airlines went down. Frontier went down. Hawaiian went down. All these little guys went down, right? If all these companies started to go down, what would that do to the ticket prices? If we had less airlines, what would happen to ticket prices? If we had less airlines, what would happen to the ticket prices? If Frontier went away, Hawaiian went away, Sprint went away, who else went away? Let's say if all these different airlines, I'm trying to think of some of the smaller guys, if they all went away, American Airlines, let's say they all went away and we were stuck with Southwest and Delta, the top two. What would happen to the price of airline tickets? You're right. Prices will go up. Prices will go up. The price will go up, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes, people don't want them to get a bailout. Let some of the Virgin Airlines disappear. Let all these airlines disappear. Now, let's say if we only have Southwest and Delta. Everybody has to fly Southwest and Delta. Now the price is going to go, the price of the ticket is going to go up because guess what? Less airlines, less competition. If the demand stays the same, that means the demand, that's like me working in a barbershop. If it's 10 chairs in a barbershop and I'm one of the barbers, half of the barbers quit, guess what? I'm getting twice as many heads to cut now, right? And let's say if everybody had to come to my barbershop, I'm cutting twice as many heads. So guess what I'm going to start doing? I'm like, man, you're going to start to raise your price. So would that be good for the people? Exactly. Competition keeps the prices fair. Somebody put that in here. There you go. Competition keep the prices fair. Tech Nine said prices are already going up. That's funny. Prices are already going up. Here we go. So now let's get into, I forgot I missed some of y'all comments too. Karen said airlines need to be better managed. So let's get the bad ones and let's go. Most of them, great advice. All right, Dave, appreciate that. While I'm invested into them, I invested into the airlines back when they had their major crash, probably around about April, March, when I think Southwest around about 20 or 30 something bucks. And I invested into just Southwest because Southwest was the largest airline. It was the most financially stable airline. And I believe that we will be flying again. It's just a matter of time when. And I think that this right here will wash out a lot of people, wash out a lot of things. And I think that Southwest Airlines and Delta will come out on the other side. And when they come out on the other side, I think it'll be pretty profitable, right? Just alone, they can't pay dividends until they was paying millions. I forgot how many millions they were paying in dividends. That's money that's going back into the company. So I look at it as an opportunity because I know we will be flying. So I don't buy all the airlines. I don't buy the lower ones. But I feel like Southwest and Delta Airlines are the two companies that I feel as though that will make it through the other side of the COVID once we start back flying, things become normal, if they become normal again. And I think this is going to be one of the businesses. You know, I don't think a lot of business is going to make it out to the other side. And the companies that make it out to the other side, that make it through, that withstand the storm, companies that withstand the storm enjoy the rainbow. Companies that can withstand the storm enjoys the rainbow. I'm going to say it again. Companies that can withstand a storm, they enjoy the rainbow on the other side. So I think that the companies that can get through this, if they don't accumulate too much debt or get too crazy, I think once they make it out to the other side, they're going to come out stronger than they were before. That's just my thought process. And I always love to buy companies when they're in distress. I'm not interested in Apple right now. I already have Apple before all of this. Before, now that everybody's crazy about Apple and the stock split and Tesla, when everybody was calling me crazy, everybody, when I say, hey, guys, this is why I brought Tesla. Man, you're an idiot. That thing's overpriced. That's when I wanted to get it. When everybody was getting rid of it, that's when I wanted to get it, right? So that's when I got it. I didn't start paying attention to Uber until it went down to $25. That's when I started to look. When I see airlines are all laying at their trash, I started to look at them, right? TRK says, I'm about $400 down American Airlines, holding until it comes back up. Okay. Dave says, start with what you know. Very smart idea. Prices will go up. Okay, that's what y'all was saying. Too big to fail. Ticket prices will go up. Whatnot. Warren Buffett invested into one of the airlines. I got to look and see. I know he sold them all in May. He announced that he sold them all. But come by the end of this week, I can see what's in the portfolio. So we'll see if he did get back into airlines. But I know he sold all the major holdings. I think he had Southwest American. He was like the largest holding in airlines, but he got rid of them all. What do I think of the long-term prospects of Tesla Apple stock? Well, let's get into this. We're going to get into that. I know everybody wants to know about the Tesla and Apple, but y'all hold on for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into what we're talking about with the bailout. And this is going to be something else that's very important that's going to tie into Tesla and Apple as well that I look at. Okay, this is from the Secretary of State, Stephen Mnuchin. Mnuchin, ladies and gentlemen, is the he's the guy with a paycheck. He's the Department of Treasury chair. He's the one that gives everybody bailouts and things like that, right? So let's take a look at what he said. Right here, he says, earlier today, Speaker Pelosi and I spoke by phone. Her statement is not an accurate reflection of our conversation. She made clear that she was willing to meet to continue negotiations unless we agree. No, she made clearly that she was unwilling to meet to continue negotiations unless we agree in advance to her proposal costing at least $1 trillion. The administration is willing to move forward with legislation that allows for substantial funding for schools, child care, food, vaccinations, hospitals, PayPal protection plans for small businesses, rental assistance, broadband, airports, state and local government assistance, and liability protection for university schools and businesses. The Democrats have no interest in negotiating. So principally, they're saying that, hey, look, we're looking to get out of this. We're looking to help bail out people. This would let me think that another airline bailout is coming out because you notice they said airports. And I don't think they're going to stimulate the airport without stimulating the people that work at the airport. I mean, the companies that hire the workers at the airport. All right. Now I want to get into the second thing. So I believe a bailout is coming for the airlines. That's why I want to get you guys and girls take on it. One more thing I wanted to show you guys and girls. All right. COVID. Let's see here. Hopefully I got this right. We already read that one. Long-term care. Economical relief, we already went through. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is another one right here that I have pulled up. This is the President Working Group on Financial Markets releasing reports, recommendations on protecting investors from significant risks from Chinese companies. So this is coming from the Department of Treasury, ladies and gentlemen. This came out late last week. In response to President Trump's June 4 memorandum protecting United States investors from significant risk from Chinese companies, the President Working Group and Financial Relief report today making five recommendations. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty much saying this is President Trump. Remember when he said about TikTok? Remember when he said about TikTok, ladies and gentlemen? And he was talking about, let me write this down. He was talking about, you know, companies can't invest in a TikTok. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember talking about the government, President Trump came out and said, President Trump came out and said that TikTok, he was going to ban TikTok. Why was he going to ban TikTok, ladies and gentlemen? Chinese companies versus U.S. companies. President Trump is coming out saying, pretty much this statement is saying that these Chinese companies, they're reporting SEC. Everybody know America is king capital. This is the place to come when you want to raise money. Chinese companies love to be traded on the New York Stock Exchange because it helps them raise a significant amount of money. We have the largest economical economy here, especially when it comes down to raising capital. So China loves to publicly listed companies for Americans to invest in. When you trade on the SEC, you have to follow under the guidelines of the SEC. But what's happening is America is not trusting China, and they're saying that, hey, they could be releasing false numbers to investors, aka NIO. Who remember me doing a review on NIO? People ask me to do reviews on NIO. And the reason why I brought up NIO, because NIO is a Chinese-based company. And I told everybody, I said, hey, look, with this Chinese-based company, one day the president could just wake up and just snatch them off the New York Stock Exchange. Don't let them bring their cars over here. This is what we consider as a political risk when you invest into a Chinese company. Everybody loves NIO. Prince, what does this have to do with the box, you know, what it had to do with the price of tea in China? What this has to do with everything that we're talking about, kind of funny, we talk about China, price of tea. what it has to do with China is NIO is the competitor to Tesla. It's like a baby Tesla that's built in China. So people said, Prince, would you go there? It's only $13-$14, has a significant upside. You're correct. But with me, I would rather go with Tesla over NIO due to all the political risk. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sharing my screen. This is from the Department of Treasury, where they're talking about investigating Chinese companies, and they're trying to protect us from Chinese investors from Chinese companies, because they say, hey, China could be cooking the books. They don't want to play by the rules, and this could put investors at significant risk, right? It could be a political move, but this is what they're saying. I'm just showing you how investing to, when you look at a company, knowing a company's origin can put an investor at a significant risk because of foreign governments, right? I know it says Facebook user. Somebody from Facebook just said it. He said, I remember you, NIO review, political risk. Political risk, right? Government risk, right? LK stock, Facebook. I can't remember what LK stock was. Remind me on that. Kevin said, back on YouTube. Good to see you back. Thoughts on real estate market. We'll get into that in a little bit. So when I look at this, when I look at long-term with Tesla and Apple, the first two things I like is they're American companies. They're American-made. They're not American-made, I'm sorry to say. They're Chinese-made. But if things go bad in China, I'm pretty sure we can make the phones here in America. It's just that those $1,000 iPhones y'all see are probably going to be $2,000 if they come to America. It's the reason why we make everything over there. So I look at the Apple, I'm sold on. Tesla, it's coming along. Tesla has a good, strong brand in electronic cars. I'm not a big electronic car tech person and whatnot, but I will start with them, right? So you got to think about it. So that's what I would like. I like the future of Apple, Tesla. I'm still kind of like, it can make it. We can see how it comes out. They just had great earnings, but we got to see how they move, how they, you know, they're that first round draft pick that had one good year. They're like that first round draft pick that came out of high school, and they've had one good year. But will they turn into Michael Jordan? We don't know. Will they turn into Tom Brady? We don't know. We expect them to do very good. They've had a good earnings so far. Let's see what the future may bring. One thing I like is they have grown their, what you call it? And Luke and Coffee. Well, didn't they come out? I think they got caught cooking the books. And wasn't that a Chinese company too? Luke and Coffee, they was cooking the books. So what's happening right now is that we're looking at some reports coming out of China saying NIO, 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 right? But we don't even know if those numbers are real. So what the president is trying to do, what you see right here, what I have pulled up, this is the president saying, hey, he started what he called the President Working Group, right, on financial market release reports. So, ladies and gentlemen, this came out, I want to say, what date was it? This came out on August 6th, a few days ago, where he just said that, hey, the PWG, this is the President Working Group, it would examine the risk. Right here, ladies and gentlemen, what did it say? The PWG examined the risk to investors posed by Chinese government's failure to allow access. So they're saying the government in China is not allowing access to review their books. So they're pretty much saying Chinese could be releasing fake reports, fake numbers to American investors, putting American investors at a significant risk, right? So this is something that I wanted to add in. When you invest overseas, you now have a political risk that you don't have. Well, you have a little bit here in America, but you have a greater political risk, foreign risk, and a government risk. The PWG unanimously recommends the Securities and Exchange Commission take steps to enhance the listings of right here. They're looking at this and they're saying, hey, y'all, SEC, you really need to go check those books over in China. The Chinese government is not allowing access. You need to take them off the stock market, or you really need to go invest their books, because everybody could have their money in NIO and kind of find out NIO was a big lie. Because a company could come here, go public, pump a bunch of fake numbers, gain a bunch of money from Americans, find out this stuff is a lie, and guess what? They get to keep the money. This is a political risk, ladies and gentlemen. All right. All right, see what we got. Just joining, can you advise on Tesla and Apple split, when to buy? I will wait till after the split happened. Right now, everybody's all happy. Everybody's like, Hercules, Hercules, look at Tesla, look at Apple, look at Tesla, look at Apple. And the stock just do. Good for me. Because I was in a Tesla and Apple already. So why everybody's jumping in? You want to be proactive, not reactive. So why everybody's going Hercules, Hercules? Everybody's running up with Tesla and Apple. Everybody's going crazy. You just sit back. You just save your money. Save your money. Once the stock split happens and everybody's no longer excited, that's when you slide yourself in. You're buying value, not the price. Warren Buffett invested into one. Okay, I already said that one. So Army of God says the VIX is a measure of the volatility based on the S&P 500 index options. The index rose to a high in March but failed to retract the lows. Right now, we're not at the lows, which could be around 10. We believe in 22, 25. Using historical guidelines, it's quite high levels. Yes, some people say that. Some people believe that. We are not seeing this since the 90s, as the internet bubble was reaching an all-time high and getting ready to burst. So it's pretty much Armour Cod saying that, hey, we could be in a potential bubble. But me, myself, I'm looking long-term. Yes, the bear can peek his head out tomorrow morning and the markets could crash and all of the good stuff like that. But if you're like me, I'm looking past that long term. It's nothing in my portfolio I'm worried about. That the only thing I worry about that cannot withstand a downturn in the economy is Uber. Uber, Lyft, who else? A major downturn, Southwest, airlines may get in trouble. But those are only two. But everything else in my portfolio, I'm pretty sure can withstand a downturn economy. Yes, the portfolio would look like crap. Yeah, it would look like, man, it would look like March, but you just stay with it. Arlene says she brought 7 shares of NIO. Not a bet. I mean, that's only what, about $100, right? I think NIL is about $100 with $13 a piece. You think if Robinhood app didn't exist, we would be at a Dow 12? Oh, man, y'all need to get off Robinhood investors, man. Everybody is really riding Robinhood investors due to the fact of what did Robinhood investors do that I forget? You know, everybody's saying those are the new young millennial investors that are running up the market or whatnot. So, you know, and they ran up Tesla. They run up Apple, things like that. But it's a new world. You know, think about it. Tesla, you can buy Tesla for a dollar, $5 over on Robinhood. You can get fractional shares, right? So that's why I thought about it. So, no, it's nothing wrong that you have NIL. Just know that you have a added risk. When you look at NIL, the president can go over there and say, hey, look, open up your books. Let me see if these numbers are real. Let me see if you're delivering these cars you're saying you're delivering. And this could change the whole trajectory of a company, because that's happened before. A foreign company, which is an ADR, can come over here and start to, what you call it? All right, so my outlook on, people ask me about real estate, right? So just know you got an added risk. Nothing wrong with having an added risk. Most in time you invest internationally, you take on an added risk, right? Y'all give me 1 second. I forgot to bring my charger over here, and I got to get my charger. Y'all give me 1 second. Never mind, I'm right here. I forgot I did bring my charger. So, Prince, we're getting into a recovery. When is the right time to start investing in REITs again? Some of them are still 75% below their March prices. Woo.
Can y'all hear me? Yep, y'all got me. All right. So I had to change up my microphone real quick to do a little charge on it. All right. So they're saying, Prince, when is the right time to jump into REITs, real estate investment trusts? You know, real estate investment trusts, ladies and gentlemen, when would I invest into them? I would hold off on REITs right now. I mean, people haven't started returning into work. Y'all hit that like button, you know. Everybody out there, just in case, if you're just tuning in and you're just tuning into the episode and you like the content, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe button.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
And go in the description box, grab an Investor Show mug. Helps you read financial reports 10 times better. Man, everything tastes better than an Investor Show mug. But it said, okay, so when I look at the REITs, real estate investment trust, most REITs are things that purchase commercial buildings. When I look at commercial buildings, right now, I'm concerned about the new wave. Companies that have big commercial buildings like Facebook, Amazon, YouTube, all these companies that had these big, huge things going on, right? We're kind of wondering, will they make it through the other side? Will people go back to normal? So everybody's wondering, everybody keeps saying, even I say it sometimes myself, when things go back to normal, some things will not come back to normal. Remember, I wasn't flying back in before September 11, 2001, I believe that was the year, right? 01. I wasn't flying. I was like in the 11th grade or something like that, 10th, 11th grade. I wasn't flying. I had never flew commercial before. I only flew post 9/11. And when you look at post 9/11, the airline industry has never been the same. It created a TSA. You can no longer, I heard people used to be able to walk right up to the gate. All these things that used to happen before 9/11, things never got back to the same just because of 9/11. So even in 2008, as we rebounded out of 2008, we still have leftovers from 2008. So my thing is, most REITs invest into commercial properties. A lot of REITs invest into commercial properties. And when I look at commercial properties in general, I'm generally speaking now about REITs. We have all type of REITs. When I'm generally speaking, I don't think that these people who've been working at home for a year and a half wants to go back to the office. That's my major concern with REITs right now. Now, you do have some real estate investment trusts where you can invest into some particular areas, areas that maybe like, I would say residential, since interest rates are so low. Interest rates are low, home prices up. So I would look at residential homes. As the economy rebounds and people get their jobs back, I think people are going to buy houses. But I'm very concerned about commercial real estate because I'm wondering, you're looking at Zoom has a higher market cap than all the airlines combined. Zoom, the only people that use Zoom was people who kind of like did online workshops and people who did, you know, bloggers, who did videos. You know, if you was a YouTuber, if you was on television, most television stations use Zoom. So now you're seeing everybody using Zoom, everybody from Fox to CNBC, everybody's using Zoom now. So now when you're looking at this whole Zoom thing that's going on, what's the difference? What has happened? What has changed? The world has changed, ladies and gentlemen. Will we ever go back to the same? Facebook came out and said they're not even considering coming back to the office until next summer. So what's going to happen to all of these buildings? What if Red Robins, we can look into the financial reports of Red Robins. What if Red Robins is leasing their buildings and they go out of business? Because I believe another major restaurant chain is going to go out of business. When they go out of business, if like let's say somebody like a Red Robins or Ruby Tuesdays or Ruth Chris or these steakhouses, see if they kind of like some of them just work, don't make it to the other side. Look at those big REITs. Commercial real estate, I'll be concerned about with REITs. I will only be concerned with residential at this time. I will have to watch the market and see what we're looking at. Arlene, okay, how you doing, Arlene? She said, hit the like. Exactly, right? ACI. Let's look at one of these here, right? He says ACI. Let me look up Yahoo Finance. Let's look up ACI. Well, hold on. You said ACI? This is pulling the Albertsons company. I don't think that's a real, I think that's a grocery store. But yes, you're right. It's a good time. I think they're going to come back, but we got to see. Great info. Thanks so much. All right. Thanks, Ms. Kev. Kev and Kayla. All right, guys. Say UK crashed today. US is likely next. It probably could be. I know people who've been waiting on the market crash since 2015. I'm no Einstein. If I knew when the naked market crash is going to be, I'd be a trillionaire, right? So you think the market is going to be a big market crash from tomorrow or Friday? Could be. I don't know. I'm not that smart. If it's going to be a major market crash on Friday, I'd buy $1 million worth of puts today. If I was that smart, if I knew it was going to be a major market crash on tomorrow or Friday, I'd buy $1 million worth of puts. Tony Siri from Cleveland, Ohio. We got some everybody here, man. Cleveland, North Carolina, South Carolina, California, overseas, Bahrain was in here, all over the place tonight. Y'all in here heavy tonight. Tay says, made the worst decision and brought shares of Innovivo being terrible. What is Innovio? Let's look up this stock. Tay is saying he made the worst decision and brought this particular company. Innovio. Innovio. Oh, it's a pharmaceutical company, it seems like. All right, am I sharing my screen? Let me share my screen with you, ladies and gentlemen. Why is this pulling up? I don't want to see this. So this is a pharmaceutical company. An unprofitable pharmaceutical company that pays no dividends. Innovio Pharmaceutical. What made you buy this? I guarantee you, before you say anything, Tay, you probably brought this because somebody told you. It's something you heard about. I don't know. It's like I'm freezing up on my end. Something somebody told you, something you probably heard about or something like that, right? Which is never a good thing, never ends too well, right? never ends too well for the investor. I'll give me 1 second. So you're saying it's a worse decision. So we got to catch up. All right. So what made you buy that? 9 times out of 10, it was something you heard, somebody told you something, or whatever the case may be. And usually that never ends well for you. Start with what you know. Start with what you know. Yes, Army of God, he's talking about the TIPS, the Treasury Inflation Protection. Yes, those tracks the CPI, which is the consumer. Ooh, what's the P stand for? Consumer, not protection. CPI, I know it's inflation. I can't think of the P in the CPI. Okay, how about the PLD, Rob Parker Logistics Warehouse, that could freight? Okay, that's a good one. TK, okay, right here. Somebody say, Continuing Education Weekly said, do you think Kodak will ever go back up? I don't know enough about that. I heard that Kodak was going to do some, I heard that Kodak was going to bring some stuff back, but I'm not sure. Continuing Education Weekly. I'm not sure. Kodak, to me, let me go and be honest, ladies and gentlemen, I would stay away from Kodak. I don't have time to do that. They came out and said something about pharmaceuticals. Then they got investigated by the SEC. Then the stock crashed. Then they came out and said they wasn't supposed to do nothing with pharmaceuticals. I don't even know what the company's doing new. I'm staying away from it. I know Kodak from photos, and I don't know when the last time I used a Kodak camera or a Kodak product, so that's not something I'm interested in. I get a major delay on my side. Okay. So, Logistics Warehouses. So TRK, I can't even say your name. How do you think about POD, Wreath, a project logistics warehouse that holds freight trucks? We will always need those. That's not a bad idea. Logistics warehouses, what type of, when I look at a logistics warehouse, what products are they carrying? Who are they servicing? I would look at that and see if there's a market for what they're carrying and servicing. Right? Steven, what's going on from Jacksonville, Florida? That's a cool looking bio. That's a cool looking profile pic too. I need to update my step mine up. Tony Siri from Cleveland. He says, loving my Tesla and Apple shares, accumulating more for the long term. Smart man. He knows what time it is. Somebody said, YoungBoy24 said he brought it because it was cheap. That INVIO, pharmaceuticals, I never even heard of that. I'm pretty sure he's probably never heard of it. What made you buy it? He said he probably brought it because it was cheap. Well, you know, it's sad. I've done that before. I started with the cheap stocks first. You know, I had to learn my lesson the hard way. King Carter says, Army, put all your money into SDAO. Yeah, if the Dow was going to crash tomorrow and Thursday, Army, if we go back down to March levels on Thursday, man, I would buy so many puts. I have so many S dials. I have so much SPXS. It would be ridiculous, but I'm not that smart, ladies and gentlemen. I know the bull will come out and scare everybody, but I know along the way it'll change. You're right. Consumer price index. Y'all got me. Y'all got me. I'm wrong on that. He said, man, ORI. Okay, I see y'all telling me in the comments. Max B in the building. What's going on, Max B? Consumer Price Index. Cool, cool. Kodak is trash. Better choices than Kodak. Yeah. Sometimes we love to dig in the trash. You're right. He's putting up his shorts. Yeah, I would. I'm not doing that. So right now, Kodak, I don't know what it's doing. It became hot, then it got cold. I don't know what's going on with it, so I'm not too cool with it right now. I'm having a serious lag on my end for some reason. Okay. This is how I look at. So Tony Siri says, MJ, a cannabis ETF, pays dividends. I should have brought my phone in here. But what happened was with the cannabis ETF, you know, he said the cannabis ETF right now, I don't know what's going on with cannabis right now. Inside that cannabis ETF, what cannabis companies are tracking? What cannabis companies are they tracking? Pretty much all of them are unprofitable. The whole industry is unprofitable. I don't know who is who. It's an immature industry that I think is going to mature over time, that I would just have to wait until it matures more to be able to make a better investment selection. Right? No is. So Armin Guys is putting up all of the shorts he's talking about doing here. You got the Ultra Shorts, S-Dial, Text, PSQ for the webs, D, yes, and SSSQQQ. Those are all the shorts. These are all ETFs that will go up as the market goes down. So he's guaranteeing the market to go down. I'm like, hey, you know what? I would go there if you was there, right? Right. Have you heard of Earn Your Leisure podcast? I think that's the one that Ian Dunlap is on. I know Ian Dunlap. You know, we have DM a few times and spoke. But yes, I have heard him. I think that's the podcast he owns or does or something like that or whatnot. But I see him. He posts up a lot of stuff. So come down my Instagram. Shout out to the guys over at Earn Your Leisure. Right. You know, especially to Mr. Dunlap. I saw some people from my show was over there and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Shout out to them. Okay, Armin guy, he's saying the market's going to crash tomorrow, Friday. We're going to see. How bad of a crash we're talking about? We're talking about a little 300 point on the Dow. Are we talking about 08 levels? What are we talking about? Because Armin guys, if you are right, I want your phone number and your email. And we're going to become the best friends in the world. And you can predict it like that, you're a bad man. You got a lot of people that want to hire you. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about it right now, you know, with Uber. The things that's been doing great for me lately here is definitely my call on Apple has been doing phenomenal. My Tesla stock is going up. Those are the two hot things that you guys and girls have seen me talk about way before it became cool, right? Why is my shirt showing? I need to fix it. I don't need to wear this color no more. I don't like the way I look on screen with this. So one of the things we're going to do, okay. Young Boy 24 said, that's Ian is the man. I think you should join them on a Market Mondays one day. You know what? He has DM'd me before. He has DM'd me. Shout out to Dunlap. He has DM'd me before. And he said, you know, hey, we should do something together. And, you know, we said yes. And, you know, just maybe one day we will. Maybe one day I should go over there, right? So, yeah, shout out to them. Maybe I should join them. You know, y'all, you know, I may DM him and it's something they may be interested in. See if I'm cool enough. I don't know if I'm cool enough to go over there. Tony said, get your crystal balls out. Yes. Armin Guy said he got a crystal ball that we're going to have 08 level crashes tomorrow. Okay. LK Ross said, why should the market crash tomorrow or Friday? No, we're talking about somebody in the comments. Army of God is saying that, you know, hey, the market's going to crash tomorrow and Friday. UK's crashed today. You know, I don't know if he's just a Peter Skiff pessimist type person who just believes on the downside. But I don't know. That's what he's saying. So I was telling him, if you're that good, just buy a bunch of puts and S-dials and ETFs and call it a day. My physical goal stocks, yes, SLV, AGQ. I definitely believe in silver and gold. I definitely believe as we go through these uncertain times, gold and silver will continue to rise. King Carter said, do you think any online education, do you think any good online education ETFs? I haven't seen anything come across on ETFs, exchange traded. ETFs are exchange traded funds that trade, they're pretty much like mutual funds that trade like stocks. Youngboy24 said, I think you're cool enough, and I'm going to ask them about getting you on. Yeah, tell them to reach out. They know who I am. I know, I don't know everybody at Earning Leisure. I just know Ian Dunlap. He's talked about doing something together. He just reached out to me and said, hey, I love what you're doing, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that kind of was it, you know. That's how I heard of Earning Leisure, through him. Then who saw the story? They did a story over there where the 12-year-old, I think the 13-year-old kid who was option trading. He did a story. I thought that was pretty cool. I know that his mom had sent me a picture way back in the day of him with Wesley Learns to Invest, probably like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago or something like that. So I'm glad to see he's doing well. I'm always being kind of alone. That's in life. You know, I always kind of do things on my own. You know, I do other shows. I do other shows all the time. Keep a close watch on. I do have like a couple shares for Wesley, the Richard Branson. Yeah, this is the spy company. It's supposed to be the company that's supposed to let people take vacations out of space and come back. You know? So that's how I definitely feel about silver. I think more people are going to rush into silver. I'm definitely have that. You're right. That's how I always feel, LK Raw. He said, I guess if you suggest the markets will crash, one day you will be right. Yes, it's like saying it's going to snow in Denver. It's going to snow in Denver. It's going to rain. It will. You're going to be right one day. Eventually, you will be right. And then a person would jump out and be like, look at me. I'm a genius. Like, is that person really a genius? Or they was kind of stating the obvious. I don't know when it's going to rain the next time, but I don't know. All right. Oh, so Youngboy24. Yes, that's his name, Truth Jones. Yes, he, I want to say that was about, that's that story got sent to me, and I remember him. I should, you know, I remember him from years ago. Years ago, he put in a, what you call it for me? Years ago, he put in a, you know, not years ago. My first book was Wesley Learns to Invest. It was a children's book about investing in. His mom sent me a picture a long time ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. So he's grown up a whole lot since then. Proud of the young man. Proud of him. Yes, if you will, you know, you'll be right one day. All right. Spies, yesterday news, Branson's having debt problems, added too many shares, etc. It's one of those $5 stocks. I think it's at $25 right now. It's supposed to be one of those ones that's supposed to be going off into the future. Armor guy says a $5 stock. Okay. We'll see. It definitely has to, it can be because, you know, well, nobody's going to be traveling out to space anytime soon. Right? Nobody will be trading out to space anytime soon. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get out of here today. That's going to conclude today's episode. I thank all you guys and girls for talking to me and hanging out with me for the day. Hopefully, y'all learned something. Hopefully, y'all hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. If you want to support, go to WesleyLearnsToInvest.com. Like I always say, don't donate to me. Support me. Go to WesleyLearnsToInvest.com. Grab all those children's books. Grab your Investor Show mug. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. I thank you guys and girls for being here. And until the next video, podcast, and cartoon, and what else crazy y'all see me doing around the globe, just know that, you know, I'm going to be here. And until the next time, peace. Stay safe. Out.